Show is moving along quite nicely, and my guest now in the studio is Fiona Jack, artist. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Good afternoon.
Can I just call you artist? Is that okay?
Fine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're currently living in LA.
Yep.
However, you're a New Zealander. Why LA?
I went to school in LA, actually. I chose to go to graduate school at CalArts, California Institute of the Arts. And I've seemed to have stuck there. I'm kind of liking it, even though it's strange.
You just say, oh, I went to CalArts. But isn't that like one of the most prestigious art schools in the world?
apparently so, yeah. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Who were you taught by? Do we know names? You know, can you drop names?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some people may know them. I guess the most famous would be Sam Durant and Michael Asher, who's like he's one of the founders of the conceptual art movement in the United States. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're big fish, but they're beautiful people in this amazing school. So it was pretty great.
Did you have to get I guess you were accepted, but was it some kind of scholarship program? How do you go from going from New Zealand to there?
I don't know. I mean, really, it must have been a bit of luck because there's a lot of people try to get into that school and not many do. Mm. And then if you get in, you need tons of money. And I got in and on a leap of faith just. Thought I would try going without knowing how I was going to pay for it. And in the end, got a scholarship from here, from the Film Foundation of New Zealand for the first part. And then basically thought I was going to have to come home for the second year. And CalArts came through and gave me a full scholarship, which they never do. So I was kind of blessed, I guess, in some way.
Did you come out of an art school like that a different artist, a different person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
do you get shaped by the other people?
You get shaped by many things. The history of the school is quite monumental throughout the United States. So if you're a student there, you're kind of part of that history, which is quite a strange and invisible burden to carry as a student. But it's kind of interesting. And it's a very persuasive kind of academic environment. So, yes, you do. But, I mean, we all sort of continued in our own style and vision as well. So
yeah, because I guess the school's reputation kind of rides on all the students, and when you go out there and actually do something out there in public, they say, "Oh, she went to CalArts school," and people go, "Oh, right, really? Oh, right, a good school then? Yeah, well, this must be good then."
Yeah, no, totally. Well, that's why they're so careful with picking people as well, because they're kind of essentially making ambassadors, like any school, but it's also particular with a school that's. As high profile as that, you know.
Now you do very public artworks. Mm-hmm. You're often using billboards. If we can refer to the Nothing campaign that you did back in 1999 in Auckland, which had a very high profile. I mean, I was down in Christchurch at the time, and I knew about it. Everyone seemed to know about it because the news media got a hold of it, because no one knew what it was all about.
Yeah, it took on a life of its own, that project. Still does, actually. It's interesting.
People still bring it up. I'm bringing it up.
It's still being published all over the world all the time. It's odd.
So what actually was it?
Well, it's just a huge billboard campaign that somehow I miraculously managed to get sponsorship to pull off, which was, at the time, I'd graduated from design school and I was dismayed at what I was supposed to be doing as a designer, which was to be selling products, which at the time, as a young kind of anarchist activist, I kind of saw the majority of commercial products as unnecessary, and so I wanted to design an advertising campaign that essentially was advertising nothing and saying that we had enough as we were as people, and, you know, sort of quite an idealistic vision to put on a billboard. But the nice thing about it was is that we managed to pull it off, that it went up on 33 billboards all over Auckland for 2 months and no one knew what it was. So it was kind of generated its own mystique, which was cool, you know, which is kind of nice. So
it kind of follows that whole no logo.
Yeah, the Naomi Klein thing.
Yeah, anti-corporation.
And that's why I think it became such a big thing, because I did it at a time just when that Canadian magazine Adbusters was taking off, and Naomi Klein's from Canada as well. And so it sort of got picked up by Adbusters and sent around the world from there, and it just sort of hit a nerve that was already starting to flicker. So
how do you feel about it now, looking back?
Well, you know, like anything, I'll stand by it. It's not, I mean, it's kind of branded me now and as a project, which I often feel a little uncomfortable with, because, you know, now that I have gone along a little further in my career, I can see problems with it. But at the same time, you know, it's still taught in almost every design curriculum in the country. And you know, it's obviously inspiring some kind of thought, and that's all that an artist can really ask for, really. So, you know, on that level, I think it's great.
Because you've also taken your idea of using billboards over to London, where you worked on the Nomad series.
Uh-huh.
What can you tell us about that?
That one is a series of kind of unconventional billboard installations that a friend of mine has organised throughout London. He works for Art Angel, which is a big public art corporation, and he does a non-profit, and he does his own project on the side, and he asked me if I would do a project. So I did it. It was in this part of London, which is a huge immigrant area, so it's kind of like a melting pot of all races around the world, really. And I did a series of 285 drawings, and each little drawing was the sort of abstract-looking line that is the border between two countries. And so there was 285 or whatever borders, and they were all in little sheets of paper in envelopes. So there's 280 envelopes across three billboards. It's kind of hard to explain. You kind of have to see it to see what I mean.
Well, so that same sort of reaction over there is like, what's this?
Yeah,
what's this stuff?
Yeah, well, it got kind of like, it was really exciting. Apparently, I wasn't there, but hundreds of people taking the maps because it was their country represented, you know, Kazakhstan represented on a billboard in London is not something that you'd commonly see, you know, so it generated a lot of excitement, but yeah, of course, perplexion. But I like that. I like billboards to be a little bit confusing because otherwise they're usually very direct and simple, you know.
I'm talking to Fiona Jack, who's a contemporary artist, currently living in LA. Now, you're living in LA. Are you living in a pretty cool part?
I am. I'm living in a really great place called Silver Lake, which is kind of the heart of the arts community and the music community of LA, or at least the sort of more unusual alternative scene. And it's great. It's all hilly and beautiful, and it's about one of the few places in LA that you don't actually have to drive to get to somewhere nice. You can actually walk, which is a tremendous novelty.
Some good venues there?
Yeah, it's close to the Silver Lake Lounge, which actually the Phoenix Foundation played at just a couple of weeks
really?
Ago.
Yeah,
so it's, it gets a lot of good traffic of music through. There's a couple of little venues around there. So yeah, it's a really awesome. I used to live in Beverly Hills, so it's
quite a change.
This is so much nicer. Beverly Hills really wore me down. It was nasty.
I hear that you've been hanging out with the Motown cats.
You do you?
Yeah. What Motown? I don't know. You know, Motown still really existed.
Motown as a corporation, I think it still exists, but the person who I work for is Berry Gordy, who founded Motown.
Right.
So he definitely still exists and is in very fine form at 77.
Excellent. There must be a few, you must be reeling off stories left, right and centre about the old days.
Yeah, he's amazing. The stories, I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily sure about whether it's the job for me, but just for a cultural experience, it's phenomenal to be able to spend as much time with him as I do, and you know, and we go away on holidays and he just tells me stories the whole time. It's fantastic.
It looks like you're in a pretty good position as an artist in New Zealand. You're obviously making a living from doing what you're doing.
Yeah, most of the time.
and you're getting to travel as well.
Yeah, I'm travelling quite a lot actually. It's great.
Like soon you're off to Santiago, Chile, part of the Transversa exhibition.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm going for a whole month in residency there in Santiago.
Now, are you working on a public space there as well?
Yeah, I'm actually working on the external face of a museum there in Santiago, which is a contemporary art museum that's been started up in a part of town that's developing and has a lot of sort of they're generating a lot of social systems. It sounds like a really cool part of town. I mean, I don't know too much about it, but so I'm doing an external kind of mural project.
So you're going to kind of turn up there and have a look at it and go, right, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So you have no idea beforehand.
I have no idea. No.
It's astounding.
I mean, I do some research, but I'm not going to commit myself to anything until I get there because...
Because you're doing a similar thing. You're heading to Christchurch and you're going to do something at the physics room there, contemporary art space. The same sort of situation. You just turn up and something will pop into your head and you'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as random as that. It is in the sense, but I mean, I have a lot of processes in place of how I approach it. I have theories that I reference that I use to decide how I go about what I'm looking for and how I make that into a piece of art, and a lot of visual and historical references and that I often work with. So it's not like I could randomly generate just anything every time. It's more like I kind of use a set of parameters and go from there.
Is there something you need to do when you turn up there? Do you stand on your head, hang from the ceiling, you know, to look at it at different angles?
There's a few things I need to do. Yeah, I need to. I'll probably go spend some time in the library for a while, do some research. I've got my iPod. That's totally key.
Yeah,
I'll have so I can block out the noise of of what's going on in the gallery while I work, because I have to work, you know, I make the whole thing in the gallery, so I have to make sure that I can have my own headspace, you know.
And, of course, you've got to find the materials as well.
I actually brought most of those with me from LA. I've been having visitors over the last couple of months from New Zealand, and I've been sending them all back with boxes of
stuff. How's customs? How's customs?
Yeah, no worries. They're fine.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Boxes of contraband from LA.
Yeah. It really is a box of canvas, I promise.
Well, the exhibition is on when at the Physics Room?
It opens 22nd of August.
The 22nd of August. Well, Fiona Jack, thanks so much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having
me.
And
good luck for that project.
Yeah, thank you.